RadioCompany.com.
Prior to making an agreement, there is a particular balance that I want to hold with regards to the agreement. Once the agreement is made, I want to prioritize whatever need, put my yes into place very high, more so than the needs that are not met. Otherwise, I get into what I sometimes like to call the tyranny of the present moment. Because at any moment in time, there can be some need that will be unmet by keeping an agreement. I don't feel like it. I said I would be there at 8. I wake up in the morning and I'm tired. I want to drink another cup of coffee. At that time, I want to prioritize whatever need, put my yes into place very high, so that I keep the agreement and hold it with care, at the same time as not completely overriding all other needs. They serve as feedback. If repeatedly and regularly there are needs that pop up as being unmet by the agreement needs to be changed, and then I want to be honest about it. At the same time, if I want to change an agreement, I also want to be aware that the other party's needs may not have changed. So if I want to change the agreement, I want to propose a new strategy. Support the other party in finding strategies to meet the needs that were met by the agreement, even if I am no longer part of that agreement. That's all that I have to say by way of overview. I want to see if there are any questions still about this. I know that somebody earlier wanted to ask something about what happened with an agreement that was entered willingly and is no longer, or something. So if you want to ask that question, that would be the time. And any other comments or questions about this before we get into case studies?
Hi, Nikki.
Yes.
Yeah, I was the one who was talking about the person who entered the agreement willingly.
Yeah, something with enthusiasm and now?
Yeah, and then later not enthusiastic. And I realized that one of the mistakes that our group made was not being very clear what the consequences would be of not keeping the agreement. That was a big error on our part.
When you mean consequences, do you mean penalty or do you mean the effect that it would have?
Probably both. You know, because in this case, the agreement was that we would give this person money to take a class and they, in return, would bring that information back to us.
Uh-huh.
And they were enthusiastic about getting the money.
Uh-huh.
And then they were not enthusiastic later about bringing the information back to us. And we needed a consequence in place of what happens when you don't bring that information.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that.
Yeah, so I want to take a moment to make a distinction between consequence and punishment. I feel very unhappy about the use of word consequence when what is meant is punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, consequence is something that follows logically as an effect of what one does. So, for example, the consequence of this person not bringing the information back to the group is that the group is now impaired in its ability to function because there was something that you wanted to do with bits of information that you're not able to do now. That's a consequence. It happens naturally. It's a causal link. It's not something that involves human choice.
Mm-hmm.
And what people so often mean when they say consequence is what I will do if you don't do that, which is not causally linked and therefore is not truly a consequence. I make it a consequence, but it really isn't something that flows from the action. I am hoping when I am the one creating an agreement that I will get people to agree based on seeing the true consequences what will happen if they don't keep the agreement, and based on fear of penalty.
Mm-hmm.
If I get somebody to do something out of fear of penalty, they're less likely to want to do it. They don't want to do it. Then the quality of what they deliver will be impaired, and the likelihood of them not delivering it increases. So my sense is you didn't take enough time and energy to communicate with this person how vital it was for you to get this report.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, writing a report or making a verbal report is an onerous chore. And it's often we think, oh, why do I need to do this report? Nobody's going to pay attention to it anyway. It will go nowhere. What a waste of time. If the person were to be really in full connection with the meaning of this report to you all, the whole thing might look different. If you're trying to connect with them now, I take it that they've taken the class, but they haven't given you the report.
Correct.
I would just take the time to connect, not with, now we're going to do this to you. But I want to take a moment to dialogue with you about what the significance of this is for us.
Unfortunately, he has not been interested in dialoguing with us.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure that he thinks that there's penalty awaiting him.
That could be.
So in that case, I would start empathically.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah.
So really, I'm offering an understanding. I'm guessing that you're not responding because you're thinking that there's going to be some penalty and that it's really not fun to think that and you'd rather protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this leaves me in a dilemma because I really want to reach mutual understanding. Can you help me out? Da-da-da-da-da. Is this doable?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Anything else before we look at case studies?
Well, I have a question related to what you were just talking about. One of the factors is maybe the person is kind of feeling guilty. So what do you do with guilt? That's just such a sticky thing.
Yes, I agree with you. I think it's kind of a lovely stretch to, at a time when I am aggravated and annoyed with somebody not doing what I thought we had agreed they would do, stretching my heart towards love and compassion for their guilt and shame. It's very sweet work inside. And what it allows me to do is approach the person with tenderness and even say something like, haven't heard back from you in 2 weeks, and I am imagining that you are probably in some kind of a loop of feeling embarrassed about not responding and guilty and not seeing your way out of it. Would you just tell me yes or no if I got it right?
So that they can come back into connection with you?
At least enough to say yes. And then you can say thank you. Because the point is to rebuild a sense of acceptance and mattering.
And then hopefully the person will get over the guilt place.
I hope so. And some of us have layers of shame that are thick enough that I may not be able to work with it, and I may choose not to continue to work with that person at all. But not because they're bad and wrong, but because of an assessment of resources that are available to me.
Yeah.
And if I am in charge of a group or a team or a department, and there's someone in the group that regularly goes to this place of guilt, I can choose to end that relationship with care. Only based on, look, I don't know how to do this. Every day I see that I end up sitting for an hour trying to reconnect with you. And I can't afford to do that. I wish I could, because once we do that, the work that you do is phenomenally beautiful and supportive. It's just consuming more resource for me than I can tolerate. So I'm not saying that we have to work with everyone, but that's not a penalty. That is just thinking about what works for me within the context of organizational priorities. Does this address your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, thank you.